Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Stop. It's time for you all to get off the stage, because I got something very important to do right now, and we can't have you distracting them. So would you please exit the stage right now? Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate what they've done so far, right? But time to get off the stage. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Now, here's the deal. Sit down. This is important. Are you all ready for something important? You better ask your neighbor, are you ready for something important? Because what I have to do right now might change your life. I am going to, are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Come on, take it off stage, please. Come on, take it off stage. I am going to manipulate you emotionally right now. It's no laughing matter. I am going to manipulate you emotionally, and I'm going to use peer pressure and fear to manipulate your heartstrings to make you make a decision for Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to manipulate you with an altar call. Okay? So be ready. Here comes the manipulation. In fact, I'm going to tug on your heartstrings like this book that I read where the author was at a national park listening to a chaplain speak. And the chaplain had everybody bow their heads and close their eyes, and he asked them, does anyone want to receive Jesus today? And the author of this book was in the back of the room looking around, and nobody was raising their hand, but the chaplain said, okay, there's one, thank you. And the author's like, there's not one. There's another one. He's looking around, there's another one, thank you, thank you. Every eye bowed, or head bowed, eyes closed. Because peer pressure is a great way to manipulate people to make a decision for Jesus. So are you ready to be manipulated emotionally? Or I'm going to manipulate you in a peer pressure kind of way like you had at camp. Remember at camp? How many of you went to camp as a kid and, you know, somebody decided to go follow Jesus at that altar call? So, well, geez, he's going, I got to go. Everybody goes. So this is how we're going to make our altar call. Be ready to be manipulated from an emotional perspective with peer pressure. And if that doesn't work, I'm prepared to pull out the heavy guns and I'm going to bust out some fear to bring you to your knees before Jesus Christ. Do you understand? I'm going to say things like, if the peer pressure doesn't work, if you died right now, where would you be when you went to the afterlife? Or I've seen this at camp too. A guy held up a candle and then a piece of paper. He said, without Jesus, this is you burning in hell. I'm ready to manipulate you with fear and peer pressure. In fact, I'm going to get out some tape and I'm going to be like, ooh, excuse me. Who's ready to make a stand for Jesus? Could you stand that right there? Thank you, right there. And I'm gonna say, if you don't cross this line for Jesus, you know where you're going when it's all over. Look at me manipulating you left and right. Who's gonna make a stand for Jesus and cross this line? Because if you don't, turn to your neighbor and say, you better be afraid. Very afraid, because it's about time for an altar call, because we're going to do some baptisms, and I really want to manipulate everybody to make a heart decision without any head involved whatsoever. Are you ready for it? Now, isn't that stupid? Somebody say, that's stupid. See, I don't want to manipulate anybody. But yet, I've seen this, you know, time to follow Jesus type thing as a heart manipulation. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's just silly. It is silly, because last week we looked at a text when Jesus talked about foxes, funerals, and families, when he laid out the fact that it's not an emotional manipulation, but it's a decision that's got to be thought out, because to follow Jesus comes with a cost. And so as we're in the midst of this crossover series, and I'm saying God is calling us to change directions, I want to be clear, there is no emotional manipulation at all. In fact, I called that out just to make sure you know that's not what I was doing. Jesus says you got to count the cost. In fact, Jesus was such a poor emotional manipulator that he missed opportunities to grow a megachurch time and time again. You know, there's tons of times in Scripture where people are coming to Jesus in large numbers, and in the next morning, while there's tons of people waiting, man, he could have seized the emotional moment and manipulated them. He gets up and he leaves to the next village, and his disciples are like, what are you doing? And he's like, hey, these people need me too. See, Jesus, listen to this. Are you listening? Jesus was not interested in some emotionally manipulated people. He was interested in followers who counted the cost and became heart heartfelt, head-involved disciples. So I don't want to manipulate any of you. Nobody. There's no manipulation. But I do want to offer an invitation. An invitation for some of you who have not yet said yes to Jesus to say today's a good day. You see, my lovely wife and I, she's right over here, we've been married for almost 22 years. It'll be 22 years in June. And when we got married back in 1994, she looked pretty much like this. She's gotten better with age. People think I'm her father. I went to pick up our daughter once, you know, and somebody says, oh, are you her grandpa? What? This lady said to me, I was at the gym last week, you know, I'm at the gym, that's a good thing, right? Some lady comes and says, wow, I haven't seen you in 15 years. Wow, you sure have aged. I'm like, well, thank you. That's a little hurtful. But see, the deal is 22 years ago, I used to have brown hair. It was really dark and it was thick. And I had a dark beard. Oh, those were the days. But you know, back in the day when I had hair and a dark beard, I had to come to a place of, you know what? I'm going to make a commitment to this lady. And she had to come to a place where she had to make a commitment to me. And without commitment, the joys and fruit of marriage would never have been ours. And so there's a time when you got to make a commitment. How many of y'all know that couple that's been dating for 8 years and you're like, come on, somebody just popped the question. You know, how many of you are that couple in this room? Okay. You see, I don't want to manipulate anybody, right? If you don't feel the tug to be baptized today or to say yes to Jesus, that's totally fine. But maybe today's the day when you say, you know what, today's, I'm going to say I do to Jesus. Because he often would invite people to follow him. Unabashedly and without manipulation, he would say, follow me. And some of you have been here for a while now. Maybe this is your first time and you're hearing the words of Jesus where he says, follow me. And maybe today's the day that you become what we like to call a seed level disciple. Now, if you're at home listening to this, we have these three banners on the wall. You all can see that. The first is a seed level. That's kind of a new person in the faith. And we want all seeds to become roots where they're growing, that become trees that are reaching up to God and blessing people. But as I like to say, some of you, and to the left, if you're listening at home, there's a fire alarm to the left of our seed level. Some of you are like fire alarms, right? You've never said yes to Jesus. Well, today might be the day that some of you move from fire alarm faith to seed level faith by making that commitment. So are we clear? There's no manipulation in this. Are we all clear on that? I was just having fun with you on that. I got no candles to burn. I got no close your head, bow, or your eyes, bow your heads, and none of that stuff. Before I invite you to come and be baptized by our elders, I want to look at maybe the most popular verse that many of you have ever heard. It's John 3:16. Here it is right here. For God so loved the world. So let me just interrupt right there. For God so loved who? For God so loved the world. It doesn't say for God so loved, you know, people who go to church all the time. He said he loved the world, churchgoers and non-churchgoers. It doesn't say that God loves only straight people. It says God loves the world. That's gay and straight people, tall people, thin people, short people, wide people. God loves all people, all walks of life. The world includes everybody. And I'm just going to make sure you know this. Does that include you? Turn to your neighbor and say, that includes you. It doesn't matter. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, and if you knew the ancient Greek, I'm interrupting the scripture reading, you would know that the Greek actually means believes in him and tithes and goes to church and behaves correctly. That's what that word means in the Greek, right? Would y'all point at me? You can use your driving finger right now if you want. Don't put that away. Say baloney. But see, that's what we like to think. We like to think that God's love for the world is actually more narrow than that, and we like to think that his salvation is for those who believe and do things. It's simply a matter of belief, which is a mental bowing to Jesus and saying, yep, Jesus, you are the one. You, Jesus, are the one in whom salvation is. You're the one in whom eternal life is found. And in Jesus alone will not perish, but will have eternal life. It's Jesus alone. You see, the river exists for anybody to belong. And I think we do an okay job at that. You don't got to do anything. You just come here and belong. Wherever you're at in life, this is a place for you to belong so that you can believe Jesus is who he said he was. He's the Son of God sent to take away the sins of the world because God loves you. So that you can become all God intended you to be. Here's another verse for you that will help you get to the become piece. This one comes from the Psalms, verse chapter 32. The psalmist would say, then I acknowledge my sin to you. Does anybody doubt that you're a sinner? Right? We say it here this way. Have you got a pulse? Right? So when I say you're a sinner, it's not a condemning you're a sinner as if I'm not. I'm saying we're sinners. We're all prone to do stupid things, right? And if you don't think you are, I imagine you just to look at your yesterday or the day before. And if that's not clear, just ask the person next to you. They'll be helpful for you. We're all sinful. Just the way it is. And so the psalmist would help us in the becoming, right? Because you believe in Jesus, you become all that God intended you to be when you acknowledge your sin. Then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. You can't cover it up before God. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And this is the deal. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what it is. He forgives.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.